And welcome to another edition of the Outlaw Show. And we're kicking off season two with a guest that's very special and dear to my heart. We go back many, many moons, man. We started in this thing together and many trials and tribulations, ups and downs. You name it. We done seen it together, man. And we're still here to talk about it. So we're going to talk about it tonight on the Outlaw Show. Ladies and gentlemen, my brother, y'all know him well, Outlaw for Life, Mutah Napoleon Bill is in the building on the Outlaw Show, bro. Man, on his vacation. Moot come to vacation for months at a time, you know what I mean? Because, as most of y'all know, he lives in Saudi Arabia.
Riyadh.
Mm-hmm. He's been out there how many years?
12 years.
12 years now. And so he come back to L.A., man, and visit us heathens. Make sure we ain't lost our mind, man. But and he travels with his family, man, and that's one of the things I love to see, man. It's always been one of my goals to be able to travel with my children as well and take them around and let them, you know, see the world through my eyes, so to speak, man. What is that? Talk about, let's get into it with that. Talk about what that experience is like, traveling with your family and your son specifically. And letting them see, you know, where you essentially we became men in Los Angeles.
Talk, man. We grew up. We became men on the West Coast. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here with you, bro. You know,
pleasure's
man,
all
we survived.
Mine, man.
We survived a lot.
We did.
You know, so to come back with my kids, you know, just so they can see where it all started. You know, make them grateful. You know what I mean? Because they come back and they got it good in Saudi. Even though life is different, you know what I mean? And when I mean good, I don't mean from a financial standpoint of view, but just from peace. They have peace, you know? So when they come back here and they see some of the things, I bring them to certain places so they can be thankful, you know what I mean? So they happy to be back.
That's what's up. I was just having a conversation with one of my guys, our brother. We both know him well, Ed Bone. And he was talking about his son. It's his birthday today. Yeah. He's turning 17. He got him a car, you know what I mean? But it's not a brand new car, you know what I mean? Yeah. And his son grow up around other kids that, you know, when they get cars, their cars is brand new. And so he was like, his son was kind of like, you know, looking at the car like, you know what I mean? And I was like, one of the greatest gifts that I try to give my children is the gift of gratitude.
Of course.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I think kids, no matter where they grow up at, they always want something. You know what I mean? It felt like they ain't got what their friends might have. So that's very dope that you do that with your children and you travel with them to, you know, deliver that message. Yeah,
so my kids, my oldest son, Salik, you know, Salik, he's still in L.A., 23 years old. Then Muhammad, he's, man, I be forgetting, bro. I be slipping. Because I don't celebrate birthdays, so my kids always get on me. Muhammad, 17. And then Khalid is 14, 13. Then I have Aisha, one girl. She's 12. Then I have Sam Man, he's 10.
Okay.
I think I got it right. You know what I mean? So
sound about right.
Especially with boys, not girls too. They need that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But because with girls, we overprotective regardless. But with boys, you know what I mean? Especially American kids. I notice American kids living in the Middle East, you know, because they love Americans in Saudi, especially our culture. So it make them want to feel, I got to be on them. Because they might want to take that American thing and show that, okay, we're American, so we have something you don't have, and we going to extra American out. So I always got to put them back in place. You know what I mean? You got to put them back in place. We got homies from Compton, from Jersey. It's 80,000 Americans in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
And American kids is still the hot, like, oh, you from America?
Right.
So you know this? So I always got to tell my kids, man, you from Santa Clarita, bro. You ain't from no hood. Don't start fronting. You know what I mean? You was born, like my son Khalid, he was playing a game a couple years ago. He always get mad when I blow this up. But I'm happy that my kids are going through this. He was playing a game, one of these video games, and arguing with somebody. And he was like, man, I'm from Santa Clarita, California. You don't know what I do to you. So I told him, I said, bro, you know Santa Clarita is one of the nicest places on earth.
It's beautiful.
But I'm happy that they, you know what I mean, that they far away from that. But I always let them know, don't let it get to the head. You know what I mean? You don't always have to be macho or tough.
Right.
Be a kid. You know
and you teach while you're doing it. You know what I mean? You teaching them and so they won't grow up with the misconception. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because they're going to leave and travel without you. You know what I mean? And so they'll know how to move around without you, man. And so let's go all the way back to the beginning. For anybody that may not know, this was probably the wildest member of the Outlaws. I'ma just, you know what I mean? Like, the majority of the fights, and you know what I mean? Like, he kicked it off. So to see where his life has turned into is an amazing journey for me, even being his friend and brother to watch. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's things I used to pray for back in the days because, for real, we, you know what I mean? Like, it's not an exaggeration. You know what I mean? It's not an exaggeration at all. Go back to the beginning and give people who may not know the edited version of how you got to this point.
Definitely.
In your life, where you got this piece.
I think even going back to the time where I was wild and crazy, I think many of us in the hood, man, I think we got PTSD. And we just don't really know how to
deal with it. This is absolute fact.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? So for me, my anger, you know, the way I released my anger was just making problems. You know what I mean? I converted to the religion of Islam, and that's when everything started falling in place for me. That's when I realized I started, you know, I stopped drinking. When I stopped drinking over 20, I would say I'm Muslim now 19 years. So about 19 years, I stopped drinking. You know, for me, that liquor, as you guys used to tell me back then, and I didn't realize that the liquor was a big trouble for me, a big factor to get myself in trouble. But after accepting the religion of Islam, I'm not a perfect Muslim, but I try my best to follow my religion seriously.
Right.
And I try my best to be a good example for my kids. Even the other day, I was on don't get me wrong, I still got that fiery in me, but I know how to channel it now. Mm-hmm. And I know, you know, if I'm gonna ever confront or get into anything, it's going to have to be for my family. Right. So the other day, I'm on the freeway, and 2 days ago, and literally a car almost like really like ran me to the side. And I'm like, man, what's wrong with these people? I'm beeping the horn. They still coming. And then I pulled up and I was just going to say, pay attention. Like, you know, you almost ran me and my family off the road. When I seen a dude with his face covered and it was some shades on, we ain't afraid of nothing. But when my wife is like, don't say nothing, you never. And I realized I had my wife and my kids, and I always try to be a good example for my kids because, like you said, they're going to travel without me. I don't want them to think my father is this, you know, dude that he wasn't afraid of anything, because I always tell them, man, it's about using your brain. Yeah. It's not about, you know, having anything to prove. So when I saw that, I sat back, you know what I mean, and just said, you know what? And I got a son, Khaled. He always like, but daddy, say something to him. You know
what I mean? He's like, always one.
It's always one.
That like, daddy, smoke.
Don't let him do that. So I'm like, you know what? And I explained to him, I said, okay. And then now we're going to go into a conversation. Okay, now let's say if I said something to him. They like, daddy, but I thought you ain't afraid of nothing but Allah. That's what they telling me. My own kids try to put me in prison. So I said, okay, let's say I say something to this individual. He pull out a gun. Start shooting in the car with my wife and my kids, with you guys in it. Was that smart? Mm-hmm. That's idiot. That's stupidity. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm explaining to him, back in the day, I felt like I wasn't thinking. Now when you have a kid and you have a family and you have kids and you have other lives that you might put in jeopardy for what? You know what I mean?
And that's the key right there, because back then we felt like we didn't have much to live for. You know what I mean? We didn't really expect to even be living this long.
True.
You know what I mean? We couldn't even see that far. And so it causes you to make moves like, we done hopped out in traffic for little traffic infractions and you know what I mean? And don't care. And he's right. Anything can happen. And so growth and development teaches you, you know what I mean? And definitely not drinking Hennessy, you know what I mean?
Hennessy was the key to just make me feel invisible, bro. You know what I mean? And it's funny talking to Doc how I remember at the end, I remember at the end, and I don't blame you guys, but back then I was so ignorant, I didn't see it. Like, why nobody want to go to the club with me? Because nobody got time for fighting, bro. Doc would be the only one I pull out, and we went to some spots and got into trouble. You know, and I look back at it, to me, it was ignorance. You know what I mean? That was ignorant. And nothing to be proud of. You know what I mean? I look back.
But it's a part of the journey. It's the reason. It's absolutely the reason why you still here.
Real talk.
You know what I'm saying? Because you got a story to tell to help other people. And that's what you've been doing for so many years. You know what I mean? You also a businessman.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the business, man. I like talking about the money. talk about both of your business endeavors and, you know, anything else you got coming up, but specifically the two that, you know what I mean, we know about.
Coffee shop and the smoked brisket. You know what's funny? When I was talking to
Doc, I didn't even know you eat barbecue.
I eat barbecue all day, bro. That's why I still got a little, you know what I mean?
I didn't even know he eat barbecue. So, yeah.
Nah, but you know, we have, but you know what's, we'll go back to, Doc reminded me something today that the first business that I would ever try to get involved in legal, was a vending machine business. Uh-huh. Remember I used to have it at the barbershop where Doc used to work at.
Right.
So I always had that in me where I try to hustle. Definitely. You know what I mean? And I always tell people.
You and Mooney.
Yeah, me and Mooney. Mooney.
Shout out to Mooney.
Yeah, shout out to Mooney, man. He's in Italy with
a I know. Man. I seen him on the Amalfi Coast. That brother stayed traveling,
stayed
man.
Stayed traveling, bro. So I always tell people, even though I had so many different businesses, out of 100, I would say 98 fell.
Right.
But all of them was a learning lesson to me. So when people see me now having a coffee shop and a smoked brisket, they don't know what I went through to get to that. They just open up Instagram and think it's easy, but they don't know the other 98 failed. You know what I mean? So we have, shout out to my partner, Saud, Artan, the brothers. It's a group of American brothers and Saudi brothers that we put together, I would say about 5 years ago, a smoked brisket, Dallas style. They from Dallas, two of the brothers. And coffee. You know, I love coffee. My grandfather from Cuba, from my mother's side, he's the first one to give me coffee when I was a kid.
Oh, shit.
So after I stopped drinking, you know what I mean? I think I just needed something brown to, like, sip on, and I went back to coffee. When I research and find out that it's money to be made.
Hey, man, it's way better than Hennessy, man.
It's way better than Hennessy, man. And it's, you ain't going to be knocking nobody out. You ain't
no offense to nobody who still drink Hennessy, but we'll take the coffee move over the Hennessy move. Absolutely, any day.
Because coffee keep you calm. You
yeah,
know?
Or it make you a little jittery.
I might just do this from
it
time
do
to time.
It do make you a little jittery.
Yeah, I might just shake my leg, but other than that.
Because coffee do make you a little jittery. I drink coffee now, too, and I never imagined I would be drinking coffee.
Yeah, because you ain't drink no coffee back
I didn't drink
day.
No coffee, not at all.
This the new Edie, dog. I'm proud of you, bro. You doing push-ups. You in the gym. Bro, we
a lot of push-ups.
A lot of push-ups working out. We would have never thought to see this.
Oh, no.
And you looking good, though, bro. You keep it up, man.
It's a lifestyle now.
When I opened that Instagram and I saw you, I was like, man. Yeah. At first, I thought it was like, okay, let me see if he do this next week.
Right. It changed my whole life.
Yeah, you doing good, brother. And even Nob, shout out to Nob, you know what I mean? He also
Nob is coming on the men. He definitely on his health
care. Health making is sure wealth, stays bro. Straight.
It's the most important thing, you know what I mean? Other than whatever gives you peace, you know what I'm saying?
And,
you know, that's why we having this discussion right now. We're going to cut for a minute, though, because we had a light. These lights went out. So let's cut right now and we'll come back. yeah, you back with the Outlaw Show. Idi Amin, Mutar, right. Napoleon Bill. 101 exclusive going down right now. So before we stopped, you was talking about your business endeavors and how you got started in business out there in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, so I got the coffee shop, also the smoked brisket restaurant, which became a hit because it was so new in Saudi Arabia. They didn't know anything about smoked barbecue.
Wow, so you was like one of the first.
We was one of the first, you know what I mean? But one of the things about Saudi, because it's pretty much a new country, and I would say 70% of the population is under the age of 30, and they got money, so they going from it's a business country now. So when we first started off, I think we was the first ones, and now I would say when it comes to smoked brisket, at least in my city, I can count 10. You know what I mean? But I'm happy when I see that you see, you know what I mean, because the people are catching on, so it's good. You know what I mean? The people in Saudi Arabia, there's no nightlife.
Okay.
So for us, the only way we have a good time is eating and drinking coffee. That's it. So every restaurant is full.
And you got a business in both of those markets. Very, very smart. Very smart, man. And that's one thing about Moo. He always was a thinker. You know what I mean? Even when he was in his wild and crazy phase or whatever the case may be, he always was a thinker and thunk on his feet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? Can look at a situation and say, this is a great way to go. And, you know, make the best move. You know, for the situation. So now, moving forward, what's next?
You know, now, man, just my son Muhammad, you know, this is last year in high school. So I'm actually searching for the college, university for him. We take that, my wife take it serious. I can't really, you know what I mean? You know, we grew up, we didn't really have, I ain't had nobody to ask me if I did my homework.
Right.
Real talk. I just go home, throw my books under the table and hit the streets. So to be able to have kids that where they take education very serious, as you know, we feel like we're breaking that curse. So now we got to get ready for that. Go back, you know, take it easy, man. Step by step. Wait for y'all to come visit.
Now, of course, with, you know, you accepting Islam and essentially retiring from the music business, you couldn't do music anymore. You don't do music anymore. A lot of the fans always hit me and they be like, man, just beg Mu to get back and do one reunion album or song with y'all, man. Just y'all can do it. I be trying to tell them, like, look, this man, that man ain't playing. Like, he's serious. He's not doing music no more. But I want to know.
Yes.
Do you miss it a little bit?
I don't. The only thing I miss is this.
The art.
No, the art, because we can do poetry. It's big in Islam. It's part of our culture.
And you still do that, too.
I do every once in a while. I write. But when they ask me what do I miss, the only thing come to mind is just our camaraderie.
Right.
How we used to be chilling in park at the Wilshire House and we clowning each other for hours. Like, this is the only thing I miss.
I tell people all the time, we did more laughing than we did, like, fighting and being angry. Like, people might like, why was Pac so angry? I'm like, I don't know. We laughed. 80% of the time.
Bro, we clowned each other nonstop. You know,
and crack jokes most of the
so
day.
That's the only thing I miss, you know what I mean? And because poetry plays a major part in Islam, it's part of our, it's actually like part of the culture, poetry, you know, so every once in a while I write.
Right. Would you ever drop like a poetry?
I don't know, because I might be corny now. Somebody got to make sure I ain't corny. Like, because everybody think they dope to themselves. I saw sound like Kumo D. A hippie tippy. And I'd be like, oh, man, I need to get up. You know, just close the book.
Nah.
But you would tell me, though. I know Edie said move.
Absolutely. I would definitely, you know, we would be like, move, come on now. Doing good, man. You got coffee. You got brisket.
Stay in the coffee shop. To drink your espresso.
None of this. Absolutely, because that's what kind of relationship we got. Like, you know, I know you don't listen to music no more, but if you happen to airdrop and be like, yo, Edie, come on, man. Come,
you know,
come give
you,
me a visit. Come.
When you don't listen to music and you don't, like, I don't even know the new flow, I might be stuck in the 90s with this.
Oh, and so let me tell you something. Bro. These new flows, they different, man. It's definitely different nowadays, man. I know you probably ain't heard, but it ain't like
the same. Yeah.
It ain't the same, man. They doing a lot of singing and
I think I might be in the
1970s. A lot of whining, you know what I mean?
Poetry take you back 10 more years, so I might be stuck in the 70s.
Yeah, this new music is definitely different. But we blessed to be able to sit here and laugh and
talk.
You know what I mean? Be old heads, be OGs in it. You know what I mean? And I'm grateful for the respect that we have and everything that we did, the good, the bad, the ugly. It's all
real talk, bro.
It's all good. And speaking of the good, the bad, the ugly, we got this part of our show that we do. It's called Trading War Stories. And we like our guests to come back and give us a story or something, maybe something crazy that they happened. It don't got to be all the way past. It could be something that happened in Saudi that, you know, us as Americans don't, you know, see every day over here because we over here. You know what I mean? Anything that you can give our viewers.
Because the trader story, you know, the war story, sometimes I'd be around y'all and I'd be like, Moo, you remember you did that? Doc be good with it. Doc be like, Moo, you remember you hit that dude upside the head? And, bro, I really don't remember. I think the Hennessy had me blacking out. You know what I mean? But
I done seen Moo put a cigarette out on somebody's face before.
Bro, I used to be like, man.
Be like, Moo, what is you doing?
Like, we had some banging out. I think we banged out in some clubs.
Oh, yeah,
all of
for
us.
Sure.
Big G, you know what I mean?
It went down. We had to do what we had to do, you know what I mean? We was essentially like kids, you know what I'm saying? And when Pac passed, you know, we had to figure it out literally on our own. And thankfully, we had a nice, you know, circle of people that cared about us, you know what I mean? And we was all able to make it through, you know what I mean? With, you know, not halfway crazy. Nobody, you know what I'm saying?
Bro, we thank God we survived it. You know what I mean? You know. But I really don't know no war stories that could come to my head, man. Y'all know better than me, bro.
You know what?
We going.
Doc be knowing all the stories.
Shout out to Doc, man. Our longtime friend, celebrity barber. He in the building right now. You know,
I would tell the one thing that Doc always mentioned. And this is respect out of what's my man name, Kane? Tyron. I gotta give him respect because y'all know Tyron, the actor. You remember
Tyron Turner?
You remember the situation,
society.
Right?
Yeah.
So we was this can be a trading war. This is a good war story. It teach the kids respect because me and Doc. We was driving in the car and we ran into him with Jodeci. And it was some issue with one of the Jodeci dudes I go back and forth with. And, you know, we went to the studio and I got into it with this guy, Tyron, right? Tyron, right? Kane, we call him Kane. Yeah. And you know, we automatically, when you from the streets, you think of a person, an actor, they can't fight.
Right, right.
So I think I might have told Doc now, I said, I ain't gonna lie, he kinda got the best. You know, now I can do, I'm 45 years old, I can admit it now, you know what I mean?
Come but, on, man, so because we, it happens, you know what I mean? Like, take,
yeah, I think I told Doc, I said, I got to leave that Hennessy alone because I ain't even see what I'm, I was out of breath. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about it is that you win some, you lose some. You know what I mean? We fought like men. He was shocked because I had a gun on me while we fighting. So, you know, not back then, maybe not now, too many people ain't going to fight with, you know, with a gun on them. So when I'm
that's
fighting,
that's what I was just about to say. Nowadays, that's not
that,
even,
that ain't going
to
happen.
It's not even getting to that point where y'all
from
fighting.
From Jersey, and not even just Jersey, New York, just where we come from. If
yeah,
somebody want to fight you,
yeah,
and you got a gun on you, I couldn't go back to none of you guys and say, I pulled the gun out. I would be clowned, bro. They going to say, man, he asked for a fight, and you pulled the gun out? That's how we was raised. Mm-hmm. So I said, I got to fight. You know what I mean? I remember I was intoxicated out of my mind. So we fighting. This dude is in shape, bro. That's why you got to respect the boxer, because yeah. I was tired after five, you know what I mean, off that Hennessy, sweating.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the gun, when we wrestling, my gun fell out. And that's when he got shocked. Like, he jumped back. Like, I think it blew his mind coming from the West Coast. And he like, I'm fighting this dude all this time.
Because yeah, it's a little different out here.
He was kind of getting the best. I can't lie. I think I gave Doc the gun. And I was like, no, we got to finish this. But after that, he was like, go ahead. You know what I mean? But out of respect for him, because we later on, years later, we spoke. We talked about it. So that's probably one of the war stories I would share. You know what I mean? That you don't always got to pull out your gun. You might, even if you take that L, but you can't you take a life, you can't bring them back.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
And that's a real man that can sit there and talk about this. You know what I mean? And because most cats is not gonna want to bring that up. You know what I mean? That's not a situation that actually ended out favorably for him. But he learned the valuable lesson.
The lesson, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so
I started hitting the gym.
That's
after
the beauty.
Though.
Yeah.
I started like, bro,
I got the gym. Got right.
I started hitting the gym.
Look,
it was like before it got ugly.
Yeah. I think I started jumping rope and everything. Like,
Doc, man. You still be cutting Kane up?
Yeah, shout out to Kane, bro. Yeah, he told him.
Yeah,
so
definitely shout out to Tyron.
Tyron, yeah, shout out to Tyron. But I remember I said something to him like, man, you an actor.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But he really from the hood. Like, Kane, he really from the hood.
And he is in shape.
Yeah,
he's still in shape.
He was doing pushes back then. We was having a beer belly.
Yeah, we wasn't doing no. Yeah,
what our gun gonna say?
We just thought we was tough, all out of shape. You know what I mean? Like, we don't care. We gonna fight anybody. We out of shape.
Yeah, but because of where we come from, man, if somebody want to fight, that you can't pull out that gun.
You gotta chuck.
Even
the
if you take that L, you just take that L. So he got the best of me that day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because only a coward won't pull out his gun when somebody asks for a fair one. That's a real coward right there.
Real talk, you know what I mean? Bro.
Man, you know we could sit here for hours and chop it up, man, because there's so much that we could talk about.
Real talk.
You know what I mean? He's actually at the end of his vacation.
Leaving tomorrow, bro.
Leaving tomorrow. So I'm glad he took time out of his schedule to come sit down with us, man, and chop it up, man. We just catching up. Anything you want to tell the people before we get up out of here, man?
You know what I mean?
The saga continues. It ain't over. So this is just, you know.
One of the things, man, I'm proud of you, bro, because you really switch it up. You always been on the positive. You know what I mean? You always had some positivity in you. But you always been like a big brother. I probably never said it back in the day, but, you know, when you, Pac, Gaddafi, you know, many of y'all used to give me advice that back then I didn't see the good in it until you become older. I think I just might have matured later, bro. I think when I was...
We all matured when we were supposed to mature. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, look, I could have lost this weight back then.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But and people used to try to tell me too. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
y'all used to try to tell me in
y'all
different
was,
ways.
Y'all
you know
was,
what I mean?
Yeah, we used to hike on you.
They were like, come on, man, you got them hot dogs on the back.
Was,
you know, Gaddafi used to let her talk about the hot dogs on the back of my neck. Like, easy, you got another pack of hot dogs back then. You need to come on, man. Stop, slow down. You ate 10 tacos, man. You know what I mean? You know, I love a pollo loco. Yeah, pollo loco coming. I mean, true story, since we're going to talk about it, I almost choked my homeboy over a french fry. Yeah, you know what I mean? True story. Remember, took my French fries and I choked him.
I remember that. You had a
fight. Yeah, man, I had a real problem, calm, man.
But when you tuck that fry, look, he started swinging on you.
Everybody got a line you can't cross, man. Don't touch. Remember Jim Belushi on the set of Gang Related? I got into it with him, too. Because he grabbed my French fries. Pac had to grab me like, yo, Edie, what you doing?
That's
like, I ain't give a fuck if it was Jim Belushi or not. Nigga, you don't put your hands in my plate. It's not necessarily the French fry per se. Okay, it is kind of French fry. Because I had a love affair
can't
with French
the
fries.
Principle, bro, you
but it's the principle. Like, don't put your hands in a man plate. You know?
Yeah, that's real talk. I remember you choked Nob over the fry.
I did.
That's crazy.
I did. We were stressed out, man. We were going through a lot.
That fry was worth $1,000.
Yeah. We probably was sharing fries at this point, man. Real you know what I mean? Like,
we went through the struggle together. You
know, absolutely,
a lot of people don't know
man.
That, man.
A lot of
I'm talking
people
about
don't
even
know.
Before the Outlaws. Yeah. We was out in Atlanta at Pac House, bro. I think we was in 40s OE for dinner.
Absolutely. Bro, I slept on this man's family floor in Jersey.
He was in our hood.
Yeah.
Bro, he was out, bro. We went when Pac was in jail. We was back on the block hustling. Him, but I was smarter than him and K was out there hustling. I was giving my, at that time.
He'd give his work to people to sell
time,
for.
At that time, I was smart enough to say, look, this Pac family. If I mess up, I'm going to lose my career. I gave it to the Luna homie. Y'all selling drugs and bring it back. Edie and K can go. I sold drugs 5 years ago. Y'all can take that experience. But we was back in the hood. He was sleeping 100%. At my grandmother's house. 100%. So we went through struggles together, up and down. We argued, we fought. But the good thing about it, we always came back together because that's what real family do.
Your Aunt Mackie, like they took us in like family, man, and fed us. You know what I mean?
30 of us in that house.
All of us up in that house. You know what I'm saying? And up to no damn good. But they still open the door for us late at night. You know, they dealing with these knuckleheads already, and then they let us come in. They got to deal with us, too. But it was always love, you know what I mean? It was always family, and to this day, that brotherhood remains, man, and it'll always remain.
No matter what.
No matter what.
We went through it, but we always come back to the table.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? That's what I love. That's real family. You know what I mean?
I couldn't be more happier for him and where he's at in his life, you know what I mean? Like, for real. You know what I mean? We lost a lot along the way, but a lot of us are still here, man. You know, we shining, man.
Man, we got to show the youngsters, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, I would end it. I don't know, we ending it now?
We end it whenever we want to end
it. But I'll tell a story. I did a podcast story the other day with a dude from Baltimore, matter of fact. And he asked me a question. He said, he's like, I seen one of these interviews with one of Nas' homies, and he was saying that when they was at that event, the MTV Awards, he said the Outlaws walked by. He was with Jungle and he was mouthing off at us. He said the Outlaws put their head down and kept walking. He said then you guys came again and he kept mouthing off and you guys did it again. And the guy was like, so this happened. I said, look, man, I'm gonna be honest with you. Back then, I used to go to places and please mouth off. I said, I used to hear things like, man, did that dude say something? I said, back then we wanted that. Mm-hmm. Like we was waiting for something. I said, so I'm gonna be honest, even though I don't call to that life anymore, but that's not true, bro.
Yeah.
I said, we ain't falling for that. Like, we was, I said, but now I'm at a part of my life. Maybe now if somebody say something, as long as it's not physical and they try to put harm on me, I might just ignore it now because we got more to live.
I seen
for,
the interviews
you know what I mean?
that you know, Jungle has done about the situation. Even Snoop has spoken on it. You know what I mean? Yeah. I know I wasn't there, but I know what came back from you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I know my brothers ain't got no reason
to lie to me
or tell me or tell us something that ain't really happened. Yeah. So, you know, when I see those interviews, I just laugh to myself like, you know, it's obviously mean more to them if they got to, you know, embellish on the story a little bit.
Talk, but
and we'll let them have that.
Let them have that, man. Like, we know what's going on.
Hello.
But what I wanted to say is maybe now we at a point of our life where we don't got nothing to prove to these jokers. We don't got nothing to prove. You know what I mean? We got a lot to lose now. Yeah. So I was telling them, I said, maybe now I'll let somebody mouth off. Yeah. And even for me, believe it or not, I think when I go through it, because I'm the type of person, man, as long as it's not physical, don't try to harm me and my family, say whatever you want. Yeah. That's when I feel like I matured. When I got to that point, when I was like, man, I don't care what this, you know what I mean? I got proud of myself because, bro, I thought I was a little crazy for the rest of my life. I thought, like, halas, I'm finished. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But when I went to incidents
we did.
I'm like, wait a minute. I ain't really that crazy, bro. So I'm glad we survived it. You know what I mean? I'm glad that we at a point where we can teach youngsters, you know, how to move. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
And remember, you ain't got nothing to prove to nobody but yourself.
Real talk.
You know what I mean? And if you feel like, you know, you inadequate in some areas, then you probably going to end up doing what some of these other cats do. But when you ain't got nothing to prove to nobody, you know.
Raise your kids, man. Prove that to us, man. Yeah, raise your kids.
There you go.
Yeah, real talk. Yeah.
Raise your kids, man, and survive and make it to where, you know, we made it to.
And we keep going, God willing.
Absolutely.
All right.
My brother. Napoleon.
His family right here.
Mutah Bill from the Outlaws on the Outlaw Show, man. Right. To the
thanks
next
for
time.
Having me, bro.
Thanks for coming.